ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Samitya Gavo Adho Vatsan Vatsavatyo Api Apayayan Gilantya Eva Changani Lihantyah Svodhasham Hayaha Sametya Gavodho Vatsan Vatsavatyo Pyapayayan Gilantya Iva Changani Lihantya Svodhashampayaha Sametya Gavodho Vatsan Vatsavatyo Pyapayayan Gilantya Iva Changani Lihantya Svodhashampayaha Sametya Gavodho Vatsan Vatsavatyo Pyapayayan Gilantya Iva Changani Lihantya Svodhashampayaha
Ladies, please. Samedya, assembling, Gava, all the cows, Adha, down at the foot of Govardhan Hill, Vatsan, all their calves, Vatsavatya, as if new calves had been born from them, Abhi, even though new calves were present, Apayayan, fed them, Gilandya, swallowing them, Eva, as if, Cha, also, Angani, their bodies, Lihantya, licking as they do when newborn calves are present. Swaodhasham payaha, their own milk flowing from the milk bags. The cows had given birth to new calves, but while coming down from Govardhan Hill, the cows, because of increased affection for the older calves, allowed the older calves to drink milk from their milk bags, and then began licking the calves' bodies in anxiety as if wanting to swallow them. Gopastad rodhanayasa maugya lajaru manyuna durgadva krichtrato bhyeta govatsair datrishu sutan. The cowherd men, having been unable to check the cows from going to their calves, felt simultaneously ashamed and angry. They crossed the rough road with great difficulty, but when they came down and saw their own sons, they were overwhelmed by great affection. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This chapter was the last chapter Srila Prabhupada, in his early manifest physical presence, translated from Srimad Bhagavatam and wrote purports. One of Srila Prabhupada's closing purports in his incredible, supremely merciful leela in this world. Everyone was increasing in affection for Krishna when the cowherd men, coming down from the hill, saw their own sons, who were no one else than Krishna. Their affection increased. Om Agyan Dimirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari.
This particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada translated and spoke his purports in the last days of his earthly lila, lying on that sacred historical bed in his personal quarters that were so lovingly arranged for him by his followers all over the world. At a time when physically he was unable even to sit up, his voice was but a whisper. Incredible devotion of Yadubar Prabhu, we see films where Pradyumna Prabhu, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, are holding the dictaphone right to his mouth. And Prabhupada, in his ecstasy of compassion for all living beings, for all generations to come, is speaking. The realizations, the divine grace descending from Goloka Vrindavan through all the beloved acharyas of our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara were flowing through his mouth. At that time, in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada's only concern was for all of us, for all living beings. He wasn't concerned with his own discomforts or his imminent departure from this physical world. He was concerned simply that the world could understand Krishna. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan in 1965 to bring Vrindavan to every town, every village throughout the earth. In 1977, he returned to Vrindavan. His final pastimes, he was still bringing Vrindavan to every town and village in the world for all time to come. Sometimes we hear stories of how our beloved founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada would be up around midnight when everyone was sleeping, spending hours and hours giving his translations and purports to his books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Shopanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and so many others. His devotional ecstasies of compassion, he described, were in his purports. And in this closing chapter of his manifested earthly lila, he's, while everyone in the world of his devotees are praying for his good health, he He's in the service of all of His disciples, all of humanity, all living beings. Srila Prabhupada explained that the Vapu is a temporary manifestation of divine grace. The Vani, the sound vibration, is forever. Through Srila Prabhupada's books, He's living forever in our hearts. Those who are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books understand how intimate it is. Laying in his bed in Vrindavan, he's putting his full attention on bringing these books to the world, this eternal message. He left Vrindavan to spread Krishna consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy all over the world. And he returned to Vrindavan for the exact same reason. In this particular chapter, the rasa of Braj Bhumi is so beautifully revealed. In one place in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that all the Brijvasis, the elderly gopis, gopas, cows, they love Krishna more than their own children. This is inconceivable. I'm a sannyasi, I never had children. So I don't really have that realization of what it's like. But I read a lot and observe a lot. It's impossible to love somebody else's child more than your own. Think back in my own life. I'll make so many confessions, but one of them, I was never a very good student. My parents wanted me to be good students. And the neighbor's sons, who were my friends, they were straight A students. I won't explain what letter I got. I was distracted all the time. And some of them were so well behaved and polite, and I was kind of rebellious. But still, they love me more than them. Why? For every reason they should love them more than me. There's only one reason they love me more than them. Because I'm their child. It's natural. Some of them are more healthy than me, more handsome than me. Still they love me. So when Parikshit Maharaj is hearing that all the Brijabasis love Krishna more than their own children, this completely contradicts nature. But Parikshit Maharaj explains that the very living force within every body is part and parcel of Krishna. And because Krishna is all attractive, because Krishna is the supreme object of all love and the supreme lover, therefore any little part and parcel, infinitesimal part, is lovable. Because Krishna is in the hearts, we could love people. Because Krishna is in the hearts, we can feel loved by people. It's just about the relationship between the soul and Krishna. Every type of love and perverted type of love. In this particular chapter, Lord Brahma, who's the most intellectual, eldest of all people in the universe, he saw how Krishna liberated Agasura, which was really an incredible feat. And he wanted to test Krishna. Who is this? Somehow or other, he was covered over just to reveal this incredible pastime. And he kind of kidnapped all Krishna's cowherd boys and his calves while they were sitting on the bank of the Yamuna taking prasad. Calves were drawn by very, very special grasses. Now, Brahma's the creator, secondary creator of this whole universe. If he wants to make tasteful grasses, you can imagine. So the calves were taking the grass, lured away, kidnapped them. Krishna said, I'll go. You eat prasad to the gopas. And he looked around. He couldn't find the calves. He came back, and all the gopas, the cowherd boys, were taken by Brahma. It was time to go home. All the cows were waiting for their calves. All the mothers and fathers were waiting for their children. Instantly, Krishna manifested himself as exact replicas of every gopa and calf. Not only in the features of their bodies, but what they were wearing, their mannerisms, the sound of their voice, everything was identical. And they all came back to the village of Vrindavan. And there, the cows greeted the calves, the mothers and the fathers greeted the cowherd boys. But there was something different. They never felt so much love and affection for their children before. They always loved Krishna more than their own children, although they loved their children more than anybody could love their children. But now they love their own children as much as they love Krishna. And by Krishna's yogamaya potency, they couldn't understand that this is Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's no envy. Envy is the beginning of the downfall of the living being. And it's only because of envy, Srila Prabhupada explains, that we remain within this material existence. All other anartas spring from envy. We want to put ourselves in the center of existence. We want the whole world to revolve around what makes me feel good, what makes me happy, what makes me feel secure. That's called ahamkar, or false ego. Bhakti is when we put Krishna in the center. What makes Krishna feel good? What makes Krishna happy? Samoham sarvabhuteshu, Krishna tells in Gita, that sarva yoni shukantaya murtaya sambhavantaya tasam brahma mahajoni raham bija pratapita. That all living beings are my children. They're all born of me. I'm the father, mother of everyone. When we put Krishna in the center, amanima manadena, we naturally offer all respect to others because we see that they're children of Krishna. This will make Krishna happy. This is the principle of compassion that Srila Prabhupada taught us. He wanted us to spread Krishna consciousness through Harinam Sankirtan, through wonderful temples, wonderful communities, festivals, book distribution, in so many ways, on so many levels. Because Prabhupada saw every living being as part of Krishna, a child of Krishna. There's no greater way to please Krishna than to love him and share that love with others who are suffering especially. Krishna Krishna's happy when we take pleasure in sharing him with each other. That's devotees. And together, sharing with the world. It's really an incredible pastime we're reading today. Not only did they love their children more than they ever loved their children before, and at every moment that love was increasing. They were in ecstasy. But because all the other children of all the other cows and gopas and gopis, they were also Krishna. They loved all the children and all the calves as much as they loved their own children, and yet they loved their own children more than they loved their own children. This is Braj Leela. Because there's no envy. All the gopis and gopas of the elderly generation, they loved Krishna more than anyone or anything. Still, Yashoda and Nanda got to live with Krishna constantly. They got to put them to bed and dress them, cook for them, hold them. So the other gopas and gopis, they were not envious of Yashoda and Nanda. They felt such happiness seeing Nanda and Yashoda giving pleasure to Krishna. Because it wasn't about me. It was about Krishna. If Nanda and Yashoda are giving better pleasure to Krishna than I can, then my happiness isn't what they're doing for Krishna. So they loved Yashoda and Nanda because of their service. And that's the way devotees are. If anyone's giving pleasure to Krishna, and if it's more than I can give pleasure to Krishna or Srila Prabhupada, then our happiness is that they're doing it. And we're all trying our best. That's a devotee Vaishnava society. Srila Prabhupada sometimes defines a Vaishnava as one who has no envy. Paradukaduki. Seeing someone else getting blessings is our happiness. Seeing Krishna being pleased upon another devotee is my great happiness. So this is the way they were. But still, Krishna, in their heart of hearts, they had this, if only I could do that too. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajam. So Krishna wanted to give every cow and every cowherd man and cowherd lady the opportunity to have the exact same relationship as Yashoda and Nanda. And he did this for one full year, and they didn't know. They just loved. Love for God is beyond knowing. None of them knew Krishna was God. Krishna's my friend. Krishna's my child. Krishna's my lover. So this ever-increasing ecstasy of loving exchange was happening. And the cows, when their calves would go out to pasture, or when they would go out to pasture through the day, they were constantly, completely immersed in separation from their calves. And at the same time, sometimes Krishna would be hurting the calves. So it's beautiful. And then when the calves would return to the cows, that reunion, that Vipralamba Samboga, was exchanged. No one had any idea is this possible? Balaram is the first expansion of Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. He's the source of Shankarshan, Vasudev, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. He's the who are the source of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. He's the source of this secondary quadruple expansions, who's the expansion who expands as Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbo Dakshayi Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshayi Vishnu. That's Balaram. Srila Prabhupada explains the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna has a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, and Balaram has complexion like a spring cloud. But for the sake of Leela, immersed in love, even Balaram did not understand what was happening. He knows, but he doesn't know. It's achintya, it's inconceivable. But that's what makes bhakti so beautiful, is it's so inconceivable. Apparent contradictions are reconciled in affection. So in today's verses, we find that the cows are on the top of Govardhan Hill with the elder cowherd men. They're elder calves who are not drinking the milk of their mothers anymore, because the mothers already had another generation of calves since then. They're seeing their elder calves below Govardhan Hill with the gopas, cowherd boys. Their affection so uncontrollably increased that the cows, it describes here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, they were running down as if they had one pair of legs. They were galloping down Govardhan Hill. And for those who have seen Govardhan Hill, it's not a smooth pathway. So many stones and so many trees and so many bushes. They weren't carefully. They were running, galloping. This is very, very impossible. And the cowherd men, they felt, Sukadeva Goswami explains, they were ashamed and angry that they couldn't control their cows. So they were running after them. Saw their elder calves, even in the presence of their little calves who really wanted their milk, they were licking the bodies of their calves as if they were swallowing them. That's a graphic explanation of their enthusiasm in love. Tears flowing from the eyes of the cows. In love, licking and licking. And the cowherd men were so disturbed by this. But when they saw their children, who were all Krishna, their affection grew so intensely, increasingly full, that they embraced their sons and smelled their heads and were completely happy. And Balaram is seeing, I never saw this before. How is it? They love their children just like Yashoda and Nanda love Krishna. And then he understood what happened. Srila Prabhupada, when he was once, I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia, at the temple, and there were devotees from various parts of the country and the world who came to see him there. And someone asked him a question: what service pleases you the most? Now, there were
book distributors and people in Gurukula and Pujaris and GBCs and traveling sannyasis, so many different people. Prabhupada gave a simple answer. The service that pleases me most is when you love Krishna. So the degree we actually become purified and love Krishna, to that degree we could actually really be an instrument of his compassion. Krishna's compassion upon others. As we were speaking last night, Srila Prabhupada, he could see the potential within all of us to love Krishna. And because he gave us that awareness, we were willing to follow these four regulative principles, especially in the 1960s and 70s. We had like a battle cry in the counterculture. Never trust anyone over 30. Remember that? Because they were lost. They didn't get it. And here, Srila Prabhupada's in his 70s. And devotees had complete trust in him. So much they were willing to give up so many of almost everything that they were addicted to for happiness. To chant Hare Krishna, to live in these sometimes freezing cold temples. Rameshwar Prabhu was telling me just 2 days ago about the first ISKCON press in Boston. It was the coldest winter of the century. And the artists, they were wearing like several layers of gloves and coats because there was no heat. And they're painting the paintings of Krishna book. Most of them are coming from suburban homes that are nice and warm, and they have their own room and their own bathroom. Why would they be living like this? Because they had so much faith in what Prabhupada was saying of their potential to love Krishna. Just about a month ago, I was in London. And somehow, I was invited to give a lecture at the Bank of England. I haven't had a bank account or signed a check since 1969. And they're asking me to give a lecture. These CEOs and directors of departments and all these people are there. And ambassadors of the Prince of Wales were there. So I gave my lecture, whatever it is. And as I was walking out after meeting people, one of the people who organized this event was kind of showing me around the Bank of England. It's really an old bank. It's huge, high ceilings and arches. Everything is stone carved. I think it's a couple hundred years old. Long corridors. As we're walking out to the car, I'm looking around and I'm having a certain experience. And then he told me something, that right under your feet is the entire gold deposit of the United Kingdom. Like what Fort Knox is, and I think something like that in America. What used to be the gold standard for their whole currency was in the basement. Perhaps tens and billions of dollars of gold are right there, under our feet. And when I was aware of that, my whole experience changed. I wasn't seeing this building with the same eyes. I was seeing the whole building as on top of all this gold. Now, the building was the same as before I knew there was gold, but my perception changed just by that awareness. And similarly, we were going on with our lives, trying to enjoy our senses and our minds and deal with all the anxieties of life. Krishna's in our hearts. We're eternal souls. When Srila Prabhupada came, he gave us, through his lectures, through his books, through his devotees, he gave us an awareness that within you is something more priceless than all the gold in England. Limitlessly more. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's all attractive. In fact, Srila Prabhupada gives this example. Krishna's like the gold mine, and each of us is like a little gold ring. Qualitatively, we're the same, but we're always the infinitesimal little part, and Krishna's the complete whole and the source of all. We are a part of Krishna. And Krishna, the Paramatma, is within our hearts. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kapunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Kodi Yeyodo. Love for Krishna is within us. Anandam Buddhivaradanam Pratipadam Punam Ratatsvat. The real happiness we're all searching for, longing for, birth after birth after birth, is within our own hearts. It's that love for Krishna. By associating with devotees of Krishna, by chanting the names of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, that love is awakened. But the process of bhakti, of awakening that love, first shravanam is there. We hear and we develop faith that yes, I could do this. That's why satsanga, the association of devotees, is so important. Because even on the path of bhakti, there's so many distractions. And we have so many shortcomings. And sometimes so many failings. And sometimes we just feel so far away from Krishna. And so far from this love that's supposed to be in my heart. But the devotees, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, by discussing them, by being together, we remind each other of what our true potential is. And we carry on with our devotional service because we know for sure it's Krishna's promise. Man manabhava mat bhakto madhyasim nam namaskuru mame vaishashi satyante prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. It was Prabhupada's promise. With enthusiasm, with patience, we carry on with the path of devotional service. Through our sadhana, through our satsanga, we access that love that's within us. And through our seva, especially helping Srila Prabhupada share this message with others. Ultimately, daiviyeshu gunamai mama maya duratya mame bhamya prapadyante maya meta duratya. Maya is so strong. She's Mayatyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachanam. She's Krishna's energy. She's infinitely powerful. But if we take shelter of Krishna, by pleasing Krishna, by His grace, we can cross over this entire limitless ocean of material illusion. Recently reading this story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meeting Srila Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi. Sanatana Goswami, who we know his story, he was extremely wealthy, powerful, handsome, learned, everything materially he had in unapproachable fullness. But he left it all to become a fugitive. He was the prime minister of an entire kingdom. And he left it all to be with absolutely nothing except the rags he was wearing. He was a prisoner. He escaped prison. He was hiding. He was running. That's how much he valued pleasing Lord Chaitanya. When he met Lord Chaitanya, he said that, "I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm suffering. I don't know what these threefold miseries are and how to somehow or other escape from them. I don't know anything. And yet people call me a pundit, a learned scholar, and I believe them. That's how useless I am. Please instruct me." He was falling at Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and cried. And then Lord Chaitanya said something. He said several times to his devotees, he said, "Your humility is breaking my heart." As I was reading this, I was thinking what we were discussing last night, that storehouse of love of God. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the love of Radha in his heart. A devotee's humility, he said, it breaks my heart. And when that heart is broken, then Radha's love comes out. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this verse, Trinada Bisuniche Natador Iba Sehishmana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadhari. When we can chant the holy names with true humility, humility gives us limitless courage because we're no longer depending on our own egos or our own resources. We're depending on Krishna's grace. Because Srila Prabhupada lived by that principle 24 hours a day, he infused that faith in so many others. And in humility, we can genuinely appreciate. We can genuinely appreciate how Krishna's empowering others. Srila Prabhupada quotes Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that I am lower than Jagai and Madhai, more sinful than them, lower than a worm and stool. If anyone hears my name, they lose their piety, and if they speak my name, they become sinful. Now, if you went to a psychiatrist and told him this, they would put all sorts of injections in you. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami really means this literally. That's the nature of a devotee. Because they're so much attracted to the greatness of Krishna, they feel themselves so small. And the smaller we feel, the more we can open our hearts to appreciate Krishna's limitless greatness. Chant Krishna's names with this humility. Serve the Vaishnavas. Serve the mission with this humility. Lord Chaitanya said that humility will break his heart. And then his love becomes accessible to us. His mercy, it's always there. And that love only, when we recognize his mercy, recognize Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we're really grateful for it and humbled by it, then we can access it.